If you've got your Bibles, you want to turn with me to the book of Matthew. We're going to start reading this morning from Matthew 9:35. It was a year ago that we started our series looking at the Great Commission that Jesus gives to the disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that he had commanded. And of course, he promises to be with us in that pursuit. Just want to start with a question this morning. No guilt, no pressure, you know, no condemnation. But we spent 9 weeks as a church thinking about the Great Commission and thinking about what that meant for us. What difference has it made? What difference has it made in your life? What difference has it made in our life as a church? Has it refocused us? Has it refocused our energies and our attention and our time? Just take just a few seconds just to think about that for yourself personally. Okay, moment of honesty. When I think about that question for myself, what difference has it made? Just want to be real with you. My answer would be not enough. Not enough. And I think that's probably true for a lot of us. I think that's probably true for us as a church. In that actually, there's lots of reasons I could give you, lots of excuses that I could make as to why it probably hasn't changed how I use my time and energy and my kind of intention in trying to make disciples, connect with people, tell people about the good news of Jesus. But I know deep down in my heart that when I'm standing before Jesus at the end of my life and he says to me, "What did you do with what I gave you?" And that's a question that he's going to ask all of us. I know that all of the excuses that might feel legitimate now are going to feel pretty embarrassing and flimsy then. And so I don't want that to be like heavy, you know, or overly weighty, but we've got to be kind of real and serious about that. So let's turn to God's word and see what Jesus has to say to us. So we're going to read from Matthew 9, starting in verse 35. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless. Harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called to him his 12 disciples, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. Let's carry on reading in verse 5. "These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, 'Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay.'" Now, there's loads that we could pull out of those verses. And over the next 3 weeks, as we're doing this kind of short series called Sent, we're going to use this as our kind of base text to kind of jump into what I feel the Lord wants to speak to us about. But just a few quick observations to kind of kick us off with that we can draw out of this passage. Number one, the mission is clear, right? Don't have to be a biblical scholar to understand what Jesus is instructing the disciples to do when we think about the words of the Great Commission. Don't have to spend ages trying to understand what they mean. The mission is clear. Go and make disciples. Go and proclaim the gospel. Go and demonstrate the gospel through signs and through wonders. The power to do so is promised. All authority I give to you, to go and do what I'm calling you to do. The harvest is plentiful. Your friends, your neighbors, your work colleagues, anybody that you know who doesn't know Jesus may not appear it on the surface, but they're like a sheep without a shepherd, harassed and helpless. There is a harvest to reap, and yet finally the laborers are few. They were few then, and they are few now. And what's interesting is Jesus instructs the disciples to pray earnestly, to the Lord of the harvest. That's encouraging. Right? That Jesus is, God's the Lord of the harvest. So the harvest is there to reap and God's the Lord of it. So pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest that he would send out laborers. And yet what's really interesting is what's the very next thing that he does? He sends out the disciples. It's like pray that God would send people out, and then he sends out the disciples. And we can pray that God will send people out, and yet we can also be the answer to the prayer that we pray, right? Because just as Jesus sent the disciples, so he sends us. Just as Jesus was sent by God. There's a whole theme of sending. God sends the Son sends us to proclaim the message of the kingdom. So first question I guess I want to ask you this morning is, do you know that you're sent? Do you know that you are sent? If you're a Christian here this morning, you are sent. You have been sent, commissioned by Jesus to go and proclaim the kingdom. Sometimes when we think about being sent, or we use the language of sent, we think about having a specific calling, you know, going kind of somewhere overseas or sent into a specific job or geography. And yet the reality is wherever you are now, that's where God has sent you. Okay, so that's good news. Don't have to worry about not being in the right place. Wherever you are now, you don't look like it's good news, but trust me, it's good news, right? Wherever you are, God has sent you to that place, to that street, to that job, in that family. He has sent you to bear witness to him. And bearing witness is not about doing certain activities. You know, we love and cherish doing things that can help us to connect with people and promote the gospel. So the treasure hunt that we did last weekend was amazing, absolutely amazing. But being a witness is not just about doing a series of activities like that. Yeah, being a witness, yeah, is a way of life. It's how we orientate our life to direct people's attention, yeah, to Jesus. Now, some of you will know that we're part of a group of churches called Relational Mission. And within Relational Mission, they have a set of values. And one of those values is everyone a witness. Everyone a witness. So not just a couple of people, not just a few, not just a few really keen or enthusiastic or extroverted people, but everyone. Every single one of us is a witness. My friend Steve Dunn, many of you know Steve, who leads Beacon Church, he came and spoke to us. And in fact, I think he's spoken to us a couple of times kind of on this subject. And he says, you know, the question is not like, am I a witness or am I not a witness? Yeah, if you're a Christian, you are a witness. The question is, am I a fruitful witness? Am I an effective witness? Am I an intentional witness? And so the question I want us to kind of work through together over the next few weeks is, how can we grow in being effective, fruitful, intentional, even, dare I say it, joyful, joyful witnesses? That's what we're going to be thinking about in this series. Now, Mike Betts, who's one of the apostolic leaders of our family of churches, he says when it comes to everyone being a witness, there's really three main ways that that's outworked in our lives: through words, through works, and through wonders. Yeah? Words, works, and wonders. And so we're going to, for the next 3 weeks, picking one of those each time and taking a bit of time to look at it. Because the first one that we're going to look at is words today. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you think, well, what good is this going to be to me? Because this is all about how Christians can go and tell people about Jesus. You're going to hear a lot of the good news as we're talking about sharing the good news. But also, we don't want to pretend that we don't want to do this. You know, actually, we believe the news of Jesus is the greatest news that there is. And so we want to get better at sharing that, don't we? Don't we? Okay, just me then. No, we want to get better at sharing it. And so we want to train and equip ourselves to do that. So this week, we're going to be thinking about bearing witness through our words. So let's pray together, and then we'll dive into it. Yeah, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the time that we've had together. What a joy it is to worship together. Lord, you know, from the off, we recognize that many of us don't feel well-equipped or well-envisioned, you know, or fruitful in this area. For many of us, it feels like a burden. And even now, as we've done this kind of little introduction, maybe some of us this morning are sitting here thinking, oh, not another talk, not another talk about sharing the gospel. I'm just going to leave here feeling heavy laden. Lord, I want to pray you lift that off of us. Just anybody here this morning, just lift, that's not your heart for us. That's not your heart for us. Lord, just pray you lift that off of us today. But your heart is that we would walk in the things that you want us to walk into, and that we would bear fruit. You've chosen us, appointed us to bear fruit, and fruit that it may abide. And so we just pray, Holy Spirit, this morning, come help us. come help us. Come work in our hearts. Come lift off our fears and our apprehensions. Come give us fresh vision and fresh faith that this is a call, not just for the one or two, but for every single one of us. Yeah, that there doesn't need to be guilt or shame or condemnation or a heavy burden. I thank you, God, you don't lay heavy burdens on us. It's just not how you work. It's not who you are. You're gentle and lowly. Your yoke is easy and light. So, Lord, I pray, Father, that this wouldn't crush anybody this morning, but that this would embolden us and encourage us and equip us for the glory of your name, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So let's go back to the text then. It's always a good place to start. Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And then we read in 10:7 of the disciples that he says to them, and proclaim as you go, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, in the following weeks, we're going to look at how we witness through works and how we witness through wonders. And there's no doubt about it when you read through the gospel and even Jesus' instruction to the disciples that that's a key part of witnessing, right? But what I want us to focus on this morning is our words. And there is no doubt about it that Jesus communicated the good news of the kingdom of God through his words. He taught and he proclaimed, and then he sent the disciples and he sends us to do the same thing. Okay, we've probably all heard of that quote that is attributed to Francis of Assisi, which says, preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words. Right? You've heard that quote? Yeah? Newsflash, not true. Okay? Don't want to burst anyone's bubble, but it is fundamentally not true. It's not true for a couple of reasons. Firstly, it's very unlikely that he ever actually said that. In all of his writings, for the first 200 years, records of his writings, that phrase is found nowhere in Francis of Assisi's writing. Francis of Assisi was known for being a powerful preacher and proclaimer of the gospel. But the second issue is it's fundamentally not biblical. It's just not what the Bible tells us when it comes to sharing the good news of Jesus. Now, yes, of course, the way that we live our lives matters. Yes, of course, the way that we live our lives and the works that we do is a witness, and we will get onto that. But the Bible is clear that the gospel needs to be preached. It needs to be proclaimed. It needs to be spoken. It needs to be shared verbally. Okay? If you want a couple of scriptures, just to convince you that that is true, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus says to the disciples just before his ascension, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Okay? Now, to be a witness to something, yeah, is to tell somebody something that you have seen. You can't be a silent witness. Apart from that BBC program, yeah? You can't be a silent witness. To witness is to tell, to share what you have seen, to give testimony, to testify to something that you have seen. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 to 17, Paul says this, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith, and I think in this context that saving faith, comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And then finally, 1 Peter 3:15, a verse that I'm sure many of you will be familiar with. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Now, again, when you think about these passages, I don't think what they need is a detailed, in-depth exegesis, yeah, to try to get to the heart of what they are saying. Our problem, yeah, isn't in understanding that the gospel needs to be preached, yeah, and shared verbally. Our problem is in doing it, right? Yeah, so it's not that it's hard to see what Paul's getting at or what Jesus is commanding the church to do. Our challenge is doing it. So I just want to take a couple of minutes, let's just be real, yeah, about why, if we do find this difficult or if we don't do it, why is that, right? Okay, so why don't we do this? Number one, we don't really see it as our responsibility. Okay, if we're really, really honest, deep down, we might not say it that way, but we don't really see it as our responsibility. And if that's you this morning, I want to say the same thing that I say to our eldest son, Joel, about putting his pants by the washing machine when they're done. It is your responsibility. It is your responsibility. Okay, another scripture for you, 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 20. Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us, entrusting something so beautiful and so precious has been entrusted to us, the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. The way that God makes his appeal to the world, first and foremost, primarily, is through the testimony and witness of the church. Yeah, through his ambassadors, those who represent us. So again, the text is clear, right? Yeah, nod with me. I agree. Yes, this is fascinating, Jeff. Okay, the text is clear. I think our problem is with the word responsibility. Yeah, because we hear responsibility and we feel like, oh, gosh, that feels weighty. That feels like a burden. That feels like an obligation, something I don't want to do. Right? But I want you to imagine, yeah, that the queen, yeah, calls you up one day, okay, and she says, hey, Neil. And you say, oh, hi, Liz. She says, I'm supposed to be going on this Commonwealth tour just to communicate, you know, the message that I've got to give to the people. But I'm 96 now, and I'm too busy taking photos of horses. So what I'd love for you to do is to take that message and go on my behalf, yeah, and just share that message with people. You know, you be my spokesperson. And Neil goes, I have to check my diary. I've got some wallpapering to do, but yeah, I will do that. Yeah, I will do that for you. Now, what would you feel, yeah, after that phone call? Sense of responsibility? I'm sure there would be an element to that. Wow, what a privilege. The Queen has asked me to go on her behalf. Like, what an incredible honor to share this message, to represent her to all of her citizens. When it talks about us being ambassadors, I think that's the perspective that we need to try to grasp hold of. That the responsibility isn't this crushing weight. It's this absolute honor. We get to partner with God. He's making his appeal. He's chosen us to make his appeal through us. Secondly, we accept it's our responsibility, but we don't make it our priority. And I think probably for a lot of us, that's where we would land. Yeah? That we go, yeah, no, I know I'm called to do that, but so many other things that get in the way, and we're going to come back to that in a bit. Thirdly, we accept it's our responsibility, but we think it's not our personality or our gifting. And again, I think probably a lot of us feel that way, especially when we hear expressions like proclaim the gospel. Because immediately we hear proclaim the gospel and our minds go to standing on the corner of a street, preaching to people, shouting at people in their faces, people I don't know. And we think, well, if that is proclaiming the gospel, that is definitely not my gifting, definitely not my personality. But what's interesting is what Jesus instructs the disciples to do. So turn with me back to the passage, okay? Matthew 10, verse 7, Jesus says to the disciples, and proclaim as you go, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, okay? And so we might think, okay, they're going to go through the towns and villages, they're going to stand on the street corners, and they're going to proclaim, they're going to shout at people. And then we get down to verse 11 and 12. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it, and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. Yeah, so for Jesus, proclaiming the gospel, although actually for him it involved a lot of public teaching in that context, and when we read through Acts, it involved an element of public teaching. There was absolutely the public element to that for some, but there was also a very personal element to proclaiming the gospel. Go into someone's house and greet them, yeah? So the proclamation of the gospel happened in a home, happened around a table, happened in a conversation, on a one-to-one level or on a family level, just as much as it did on a public preaching level. So for some people, there may be a sense that proclaiming the gospel is outworked through a public proclamation. But I think for many of us, proclaiming the gospel can be done around a table, Proclaiming the gospel can be going into someone's home or having someone in your home. Proclaiming the gospel can be sitting over a coffee in a coffee shop or sitting next to somebody on the bus. You're still proclaiming the gospel, but you're not necessarily doing it to hundreds and hundreds of people. So proclamation of the gospel is both public, but also, for a lot of us, very personal. It's also not about being an evangelist, okay? We misunderstand what that term evangelist means most of the time, okay? An evangelist is an office within the church that the Holy Spirit has given, yeah, to equip the saints, to equip the body, to go and tell people about Jesus. So again, my friend Steve Dunn would say, if you tell people about Jesus a lot, you're not necessarily an evangelist, you're a Christian. That's what Christians do. They talk to people about Jesus. Evangelists talk to people about Jesus a lot as well, but they also help the church to tell people about Jesus. So it's not a question of our personality, and it's not a question of our gifting. And then fourthly and finally, we don't do it because we're afraid of being rejected. That probably, again, resonates with most of us. But I guess it is good news, is that Jesus was very clear around our expectations around this. Okay, so we look in Matthew 10, 14. He says, if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. And in Luke 10, when he sends out the 72, he describes us sending them out as lambs amongst wolves. Yeah, so Jesus makes sure the disciples aren't under any disillusion, you know, that not everybody is going to receive their message. And so we shouldn't worry about that either. The reality is Jesus was rejected by pretty much everybody at some stage. You know, Paul's ministry was one of constant opposition. So why should we think it should be any different for us? In fact, we looked a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, how Jesus said, look, if the world hates you, remember, it hated me first. And so I think we just need to kind of switch our thinking and try and get ourselves out of this place of like, if I communicate the gospel or I share the gospel somewhere and they don't receive it, then I'm a failure. I disqualify myself from sharing the gospel anymore. Because actually we should expect some people to receive it and some people not to receive it. And we're not in control of either. I think our problem is often the only stories that we hear about evangelism are the successful ones. Yeah, so I spoke to so-and-so in the supermarket and had this great conversation, or I tried to pray for my neighbor and they were really receptive. Maybe we just need more conversations or more testimonies of I offered to pray for my neighbor and they told me to jog on, you know? And actually, I was sitting on the bus next to someone, I had a real impression in my heart and I said to them, excuse me, can I just talk to you for a second? They said, no. Do you know what I mean? Because those are the stories that delight and honor God just as much as the successful ones. Because what God is looking for is obedience. Mike Betts tells a story in his book, Relational Mission, A Way of Life, of when he was sat on the train and he was overhearing a conversation by a guy who was a musician talking about his bad back, and he felt God say to him, I want you to pray for that person. And Mike was like, this is a busy train. That's not really how I'm wired. I'm not going to do that. And yet he felt God say, no, I want you to pray for that person. And so he said to God, he said, okay, I'm going to test this. I'm not going to do it now because there's too many people around. So if we get off the train and it's just me and him, then I will offer to pray for him. Thinking, we're going into a busy London station. Absolutely no way that's ever going to happen. Gets off the station and he said within about 20 seconds, there was nobody within 100 feet of him and this guy. And so he was like, oh man, okay, Lord, it feels like you're really opening up this opportunity for me. So he kind of went up to the guy, he said, look, excuse me, I couldn't help overhear your conversation on the train, you talking about your bad back. I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, I believe that he can heal you, can I pray for you? And the guy looked at him for a second and just went, it's not really my kind of thing, and walked off. And you're kind of reading the book and you're expecting this kind of moment where the guy, you know, was like, yes, and he prays for him and he gets healed and he becomes a Christian. And Mike's like, I bet you didn't expect the story to end that way. But we need to hear those stories because I believe that God honored Mike and was blessed by Mike's obedience. And that's his whole thing. It's like, we can't be responsible. We are not responsible for how people will respond. Yeah, God is the one who saves. And yet we are called to just be obedient to those promptings and to not let the fear of rejection stand in our way. So those are a lot of reasons that we don't do it, okay? Don't feel like it's our responsibility, not our priority, not our personality or gifting, or afraid of being rejected. Before we rush on to thinking about, okay, well, how do we grow in this? Let's just pause there for a moment, okay? And if you've got a pen or paper or on your phone, I just want you to make a note okay, of which one of those four, or maybe it's all four, which one of those is the one that actually, you know, for you, that's the biggest barrier. That's the reason you don't do it. Okay? And just listen to the Holy Spirit. Jot it down on your piece of paper because we'll come back. We'll pray for that at the end. We'll pray that God would break that stronghold in our lives. Okay. So those are the reasons that we don't do it. Now, how can we embrace this call to use our words to communicate the good news of Jesus? Okay. Are you still with me? Great. Number one, got to start with your heart. We must start with our heart. Okay. In Mark chapter 1, we can read the story of a leper who Jesus heals. And then Jesus charges him not to go and tell anybody about what has done. And the leper totally ignores him and goes and tells everybody, speaks freely about it and shares this news. And I find that a really ironic story because Jesus charges this one individual not to go and tell people, and yet he cannot help it because God has done such an amazing thing in his life. And yet for most of us, it's the other way around. Jesus has charged us to go, and yet we don't go. And so the question we've got to work out is, what's the difference between the heart of the leper and our heart when it comes to our appreciation of the gospel? Where is our heart at? The reality is we are not quick to think, to share about things that are just a bit meh to us, right? Yeah, we don't go up and grab someone and say, oh, Ben, I've got to tell you about this film that I saw. And Ben goes, all right, yeah, tell me about it. I was like, yeah, it was all right. You know, or Lucy, I've got to go and tell you about this place that I ate. And Lucy's like, all right, was it amazing? I was like, no, not really. Like, we don't feel compelled to go and tell people about things that are just kind of average, right? But we do feel compelled to tell people about things that are amazing, that are life impacting. And the gospel is amazing. It is amazing. And so the question that all of us have got to grapple with is it amazing to us? Are we enamored by it? Are we wowed by Jesus? Are we overwhelmed by his love and mercy? Are we just so full of thankfulness for what he's done in our lives? Are we even aware of what we were like and who we are now? And the difference that there is because of Jesus' love and grace for us. Do we really believe that it's good news? Because you can't help but share good news. And so we've got to, if we're not living in a place of gospel appreciation, and if we're not living in a place of daily intimacy with Jesus, then we forget the call to go and share him with people. Because out of the overflow of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. And that is, I'm sure we can all testify, is true, either for good or bad. Yeah, depending on where we're at, what comes out of our mouth, yeah, will reflect what's going on in our hearts. And so I would put it to you, if nothing is coming out of our mouths about how beautiful Jesus is and the gospel is, then maybe we need to go back to the cross. Maybe we need to go back to the empty tomb. Maybe we need to go back to gazing upon him and just asking him to set us on fire again so that we might shine rightly for him. So we must start with our heart. Secondly, we need to be available and we need to be present. Okay, so Lou Thomas had a word a couple of years ago which has really stuck with me, where she said that God is not interested in our ability, but in our availability. For most of us, when we think about this, telling people about Jesus, we are fixated on our ability to be able to do it. God's not interested in that. Are we available to be used by him? Are we available? I really believe that we will have daily opportunities to talk to people about Jesus if we would just make ourselves available. If we would just slow down the way that we live our lives. If we would just make space to be present with people.
In Mark chapter 6, which is Mark's version of the sending out of the apostles, he quotes Jesus saying this, and he said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there." There's that sense of like, wherever you enter a house, be present there. Be present, be fully present in that place where you find a sense of welcome, where there is an opportunity. And so one of the ways that we can step into sharing about Jesus is to make time to be available, to be used by him. One of our biggest battles in life is that we are all of us just in too much of a hurry. We just fill our lives. There's no margin. There's no time or space in our diaries to allow for interruption, to allow for us to stop here, to remain here in this place, in this conversation with this person, because we've always got to get on to the next thing. Friends, we have to slow down. We have to create space. We have to fight to make time. Time will not just appear. The rhythm and pace of our life will not just naturally slow. We always make time for the things that are important to us. We do. Whatever is most important to you, look at your diary, okay? And that will tell you what is most important, even if you don't think it's the most important. How we use our time expresses what our value is, what our priorities are. So how much we make time and make space to be able to tell people about Jesus will show how much of a priority that is to us. It's a huge battle. Like, make no, you know, jokes about it. Like, it's not, it's for me personally, the biggest battle is that I think deep down, I've got lots of flaws and I'm far too ambivalent most of the time and I don't love people well enough. And my heart is not on fire for the gospel enough. But deep down, there is a desire to want to share the good news of Jesus with people. But for me, there isn't the time. And that is pathetic, okay? But it is the reality that I get so distracted with so many other things that could even be seen as legitimate things. But actually, it's not the thing that I'm called to do. You know, sometimes I have these conversations with Joel and Josie, and I'll be like, Have you done that thing I asked you to do yet? And their response will be like, well, no, I've been doing this, and I've been doing that, and I've been doing that, and I've been doing that. And I say to them, that's all fine, and that's all good, but it's not what I've asked you to do. And I think sometimes it's like, I say, well, yeah, but God, I've been doing that. I've been doing the weekly email. Don't you understand how important the weekly email is? And God's like, yeah, okay, but that's not what I've really asked you to do. I've asked you to go and proclaim. I've asked you to go and tell people the good news about me. Thirdly, we need to be sensitive, okay? So I believe that we should sow liberally when it comes to the word of God. You know, Jesus tells the parable of the sower who sows the word of the kingdom liberally. Some of it, you know, falls on different kinds of soil. Again, you know, that's why we shouldn't worry about being rejected, because Jesus is very clear. Well, some of it's going to fall in the path and it's going to get eaten up and stolen away by the enemy. But as we sow liberally, so we should also look to see what kind of soil the seed falls into. Again, let's go back to Matthew. In case you briefly flick to Mark with me, Matthew chapter 10, verse 12 to 13. It says this, as you enter the house, greet it, and if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. Luke 10, Jesus talks about going into a town and finding the son of peace or the man of peace. And if you're going into a house and if your peace rests upon that house, staying there, but if your peace returns to you, then turning away and going somewhere else. So we need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit and be sensitive to where he's calling us to linger. So to sow liberally, yeah, but to stay where there is good soil, yeah, where we sense an openness in somebody. And so that's why I think it's absolutely fine, yeah, if you have started getting into conversation with somebody and you feel like you just hit a brick wall, and maybe you'll try another tact and it's just brick wall, do you know what? I think it's okay to go somewhere else. I really do, because I think that's what Jesus says to the disciples. If your peace doesn't rest there, just take your peace and go somewhere else. There are some hearts where the gospel is going to bounce off,
where the truth is going to be stolen away. Sometimes there's a time to linger and to push for breakthrough. Okay, it doesn't mean if you've got a friend and there's just resistance, 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 you stop being that person's friend or you don't love that person anymore. And yet the reality is, I think we can spend a lot of time investing in relationships. The reality is that person's just heart is just closed to the gospel. Sometimes we just get on well with them and so we want to spend time with them. But actually, I think we need to look out. Who's the person of peace? Where's the openness? Where's the good soil to receive the word of the kingdom? Fourthly, and we're coming into land, we need to be prepared. Okay, so 1 Peter 3:15, which I quoted earlier, says, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." Okay, we need to be prepared. I just want to park here for a few moments. All the other things that we've looked at, in terms of starting with our heart, being available and present, being sensitive, are really, really helpful. And I think when we do those things, we will have opportunities to share Jesus with people. But often what happens, from my experience certainly, is when those opportunities arrive, I'm so unprepared that I don't really know what to say. I've asked for the opportunity, I might have prayed for the opportunity, but I haven't given any thought to what I'm actually going to say to somebody if the opportunity arises. And so we need to prepare ourselves. The reality is we prepare for any other kind of like important proclamation. Yeah, so like a wedding speech, you know, you spend a lot of time kind of preparing it, or a presentation at work, think it through, how am I going to communicate this? Or even when we're like selling something on eBay, you know, what's the description? How can I best communicate this to get to the heart of what it is that I'm trying to say? And yet when it obviously often comes to sharing the gospel, we haven't given any thought as to what actually will I say? How do I communicate this effectively? And so what I want to do is just, as we finish, just focus on two ways that we can effectively communicate the gospel with our words. The first is testimony, and the second is just simply sharing the gospel. Let's think about testimony for a couple of minutes. When it comes to testimony, there are two types, I think, of testimony. The first one is just sharing what God is doing in your life at the moment. I remember chatting to Janine and her saying to me that the way that I witness is I have the same conversations with my friends who aren't Christians that I have with my friends who are Christians. I just tell them what God's doing in my life. And I just thought, what? That's so simple. What a fantastic way to witness people. That is sharing testimony with somebody. Yeah, that is saying, God's speaking to me about this at the moment, or I'm struggling in this area, but I'm trusting God in this situation. You know, we're having it at the moment with our neighbor. Some of you will know, but actually probably most of you don't. We've been served notice on our house, so we've got to move out in 2 months. So please pray for us on that. But so we're in a situation where things are a bit unsettled. We're not quite sure what's going to happen. And so we're trying to talk to our neighbor about this. And so I'm saying to him, yeah, we've no idea what's going to happen. But you know what? We're trusting in God. As Christians, we believe that God will provide for us. That's it. Like, and for me, that's like a big deal. That's like a, you know, like hyperventilating moment. But I'm sharing that. And that's bringing a testimony. That's me sharing a testimony of how being a Christian affects my day-to-day life. And he might look at me like I'm slightly strange, you know, or I think he said to me, oh, yeah, well, you know, I'm sure it'll work itself out. Everything happens for a reason. And you're like, okay, fine. But, you know, but I'm being faithful in sharing testimony. And I think, again, a lot of us, all of us, will have opportunities throughout the day, again, if we're walking closely with the Lord, to be able to share. Someone might say something, might say, oh, I'm really struggling with this. See, I'm really struggling with anxiety. I'm really struggling with how to parent my kids at the moment. And that's a window. It's a little opportunity to be able to say, yeah, I struggle with that too. Here's how I do it. Yeah, I pray about it. And God gives me a real sense of peace. And you pray about it. God gives you peace. Let me talk to you about that. Do you know what? It's just, it feels when you talk about it like that, you think, well, yeah, I can do that. Like, why can't I do that? Why can't we do that? Why can't we do that? Sharing simple testimony about what God is doing in our lives at the moment. The second is sharing our story. Yeah, sharing our story of how we came to know Christ. Yeah, each and every one of us has an amazing testimony, yeah, of what Jesus has done in our lives, of how we became a Christian. Now, you might sit here this morning and think, no, I don't. You know, I don't have one of those testimonies that was like, I was, you know, a drug addict, or I was, you know, in prison for this or whatever, or, you know, I fell down an avalanche and, you know, saw Jesus in the snow. Or do you know what I mean? Like, I don't have that kind of story. I was born in a Christian household, and then I became a Christian, and then I married a Christian, and now I'm a Christian. You know, but every single one of us has an amazing testimony. Okay, if Jesus has given you a new heart, yeah, if Jesus has taken away your old life and given you a new eternal life in him, you have a phenomenal testimony. You have an amazing testimony that is powerful, life impacting, but it needs a little bit of thought in terms of how we communicate it. It needs a little bit of crafting. Okay, so our response this morning, okay, is not to sing another song. Our response is to do something now that we're going to be able to hopefully have opportunity to put into practice this week. So again, I want you to grab a pen or your phone, okay? And we're going to take just a few minutes to shape a little testimony, a little story of our salvation that we can share with somebody if God gives us an opportunity to do so this week, okay? So we're going to do this in three ways. And I don't want you to, it's not going to take ages, okay? Sometimes you'll have opportunity to share a really detailed testimony. Say you know somebody quite well, you're sitting across the table from them or whatever, and you can, you don't necessarily need to plan it as much because it's just in conversation. But sometimes you might only have a couple of minutes. Yeah, well, let me just share quickly with you my story of the difference that Jesus made in my life. And then knowing what you're going to say in those moments is really helpful. So firstly, I want you to just do three things. Number one, I want you to write down a statement, okay, it might just be a line or a couple of lines, which is my life before Jesus. Okay? So just a line about what your life was before Jesus. So I was this or that. Okay? So I'm just going to give you a minute to do that. So carry on doing it if you're still doing it. But just to give you an example, okay? For me, it could be something simple as saying, when I was younger, I really struggled with rejection. And I thought that nobody would ever accept me as I am. So just really simple. Doesn't tell everybody everything, every detail. Just a little snapshot of what my life was like before Christ. Second thing that I then want you to write is about your decision to trust Jesus. Okay, so I realized, or I came to believe this about Jesus. So again, for me, this might be when I encountered God, I discovered that he loved me and that I could find freedom and acceptance by trusting in Jesus. Doesn't tell the whole gospel, might invite more questions, might not have an opportunity to say anything else, but I've talked about the difference that it made meeting Jesus. And then the third thing is just how my life has changed. And so I might write something like this. Sometimes I still worry about what people think about me, but I feel so free and at peace on a day-to-day basis because I know that I am accepted by God. To share that story probably will take me less than a minute. I could take those three sentences and I could add in more detail so that I have a 5-minute testimony. I could take those details and I could add in some more so that I have a 20-minute testimony. Yeah, I have an opportunity there to really think through so that when the opportunity arises in whatever situation it arises, I am prepared. I'm ready because I've thought through how I'm going to share my story. Second way of sharing with our words is through sharing the gospel. And again, this is something that we need to prepare ourselves to. So if you were to walk out of this room today, go into the park this afternoon or down to the seafront, get into a conversation with somebody, share that you're a Christian, and them to say to you, so what actually is the gospel? Yeah, would you know what to say in a succinct answer?
more often than not, I think actually I wouldn't. You know, for me, I'd try to tell them the whole story of salvation history from Genesis through to Revelation. And after I get to about kind of Exodus, they'd be gone. Do you know what I mean? So I need to think through what's one line. If I only get 30 seconds, what's one line or a couple of sentences that I can share, that I can almost have off pat? This is what the gospel is. I'm not going to ask you to do that now because I'm conscious of time, but maybe this afternoon or sometime in the week, just take a minute, write down, what would your answer be? Somebody says to you, what is the gospel? Or how do I become a Christian? What does it mean to become a Christian? What is your answer? Write down in one or two lines. And then what I want to ask you to do is I want you to pray this week, okay, every day, for an opportunity to share your story or to share the gospel with somebody. And I would absolutely love it if next week, when we come together at the start of our service, we can go, okay, who's got a testimony? How have we outworked this? How have we put this into practice this week? And I would love it if somebody stood up here and said, yeah, I tried to share my testimony with my neighbor, but they shut their door in my face, you know? And I would celebrate that and I would rejoice in it as much as they welcomed me in. We sat down and had a cup of tea and I was able to tell them all about Jesus, okay? If we have no testimonies by the end of the week, then I think this has been a bit of a waste of time, to be honest, because we need to be a people who put into practice and are obedient in response to what God is calling us to do. The reason that I'm confident that we can do this is because of what Jesus promises to his disciples and to us, that my authority I give to you. Authority and power over all the enemy. He promises in other places that the Holy Spirit will give us the words to say in those opportunities. And we can be confident and free because God is the one who saves. Amen? Amen. I'm going to pray for us. And then we're going to draw our time to a close. Won't you stand with me? Two things I want to pray for. The first is the thing that we were looking at in the first part of the message around the reasons that we don't share. So whatever it was that you wrote down, okay, I just want you now in your heart to present that to the Holy Spirit and just say, yeah, Lord, this is the reason that I don't freely, joyfully, willingly share the gospel with people, because I either don't see it as my responsibility or it's not my priority, or I believe the lie that it's not my personality, or I'm afraid of being rejected. Whichever or all of those is, just present it towards the Father now. And Lord, I want to pray for myself first and foremost, Lord God, but for the church family here, Lord God, that you would take these lies, that's what they are. You take these lies, Lord, these strongholds in our thinking, wrong ways of thinking, and we just ask now that you just break them in Jesus' name. We just break them off of us right now in Jesus' name, and that you would just bring us a freedom and a peace and an excitement, Lord God. Whatever is getting in our way from telling people the good news of you, we just pray now. You just lift it off of us. Just remove it. We'll probably have to pray this prayer again tomorrow and the next day and the next day, because that's how strong wrong thinking is overcome. Yeah? We've got to keep proclaiming the truth in our lives. But for a starting point today, we say, Jesus, have your way in us. Have your way in us. And Lord, I just want to pray, help us as your people to be obedient, Lord God, joyfully obedient to the call to go and proclaim the good news. I thank you, Jesus, you've given us everything that we need to do it. Lord God, and there is such life. Like, this is what you're asking us to do. This is where spiritual life and vigor are found, partnering with the Son in his business, continuing his work here on the earth. Lord Jesus, I pray, Father, that this morning would lead to change. I just pray, Lord, help us all to make that decision this week, to slow down, to be available. And Lord, I pray, would we have stories? I pray, Lord, would we have stories next week of stepping out, stories of fruitfulness, Lord, for your glory, I ask in Jesus' name.